from Illinois Soul, you're listening to Dialogue, an exchange about culture straight from the soul. I'm Reginald Hardwick. Lee Hawkins grew up in Minnesota. He reported for years for newspapers in the Midwest and the Wall Street Journal. He's also a singer and songwriter. But the storyteller is bringing his family history and the Black experience to the public with his podcast, What Happened in Alabama, and his new book, I Am Nobody's Slave, How Uncovering My Family's History Set Me Free. During a recent book signing at Champaign's Barnes & Noble, he was gracious enough to spend some time with us here at Illinois Public Media. Lee Hawkins, welcome to Dialogue and Illinois Soul.
Hello, Reginald. Thanks for having me today.
When I listened to your podcast and read the first chapters of I Am Nobody's Slave, I was struck by your descriptions of growing up here in the Midwest. What was it like to grow up in the Hawkins family?
We lived in a suburb of Minnesota called Maplewood in St. Paul, and we moved there right after a highway was built through the center of the Black community that my family was from, the historic Rondo community, which was a thriving community. People like August Wilson, Carl T. Rowan, who actually rented from my great-grandparents, and Gordon Parks and Roy Wilkins, Hallie Krupp, Q. Brown. A lot of people came through Minnesota and lived there in the Black thriving community where we had our businesses and everything. And then when that Highway 94 was built through the middle of our community, there were a lot of people who were displaced. And it also coincided with the Black flight that was beginning to happen because so many Black people were moving into the suburbs. And, you know, this is why it's so important to have complex Black stories, because, you know, you and I and the Black people who are listening today who are situated in the Midwest, we all know that a lot of times our stories are overlooked. And so my story in particular is not the story of the Black family from Philadelphia or the Black family from, from the urban parts of LA, or, you know, this is a Black suburban family who was strongly rooted in the Black community because we went to a Southern Baptist Missionary Church, right? And we were in all of the organizations, you know, and we were also, I guess, middle to upper middle class, right? We were in Jack and Jill, we were in the fraternities and the sororities and all of that. And yet still, we were not separated from the Black community like people like to think. We were very much a part of it, and all of the positive aspects of it, and also sometimes to a greater degree, the racism we experienced. And that was because we lived in a 99% Scandinavian suburb, and I was a Black boy, often one of the few Black boys, or the only Black boy in my school and in my classes. And I had to learn the rules of the society through the lens of a father who was raised in Alabama during the Jim Crow era in the 1950s, who would never talk about Alabama. But there were plenty of rules that he brought from Alabama to Minnesota that I was expected to observe with a passion, to the letter. And if I did not, it was enforced by the belt.
Tell me more about your dad.
Oh, wow. Leroy Hawkins Sr. He was a strong, proud, tall, dashingly handsome Black man. I don't know what happened to me, but and he was a great father. He was there for me in every sense of the word. He was a man of God. He was a guitar player who played soul music, and then, you know, also was in the music ministry for 30 years at Mount Olivet Baptist Church, my beloved childhood church home. And, you know, when I was a kid, we used to travel around Minnesota, and we would sing at different churches, from the big ones to the little storefront churches. My father believed a lot in me, and he had high expectations. He was a man who believed that I could achieve anything that I put my mind to. And he was my friend, but you know how people say, you know, I'm not your friend, I'm your father, right? But he actually was my friend, right? Which made it that much harder to understand and process his brutality, you know? And I would say that I had a classically American, Black American father-son experience. And what I mean by that is, if you look at, you know, what this book had forced me to do is to look at the hyper-visible symbols of Black boyhood and manhood, and look at Joe Jackson, and look at Joe and Michael Jackson, and Prince and his father, and Tiger Woods and his father, and my cousin Roy Jones Jr. and his father, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. and his father, and Mr. Williams, as he fathered Serena and Venus, to be productive, right? This is the part of the Black American story that's often missing. I mean, when we look at, I think one of the problems that people have in this society with Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders is I feel that society is much more comfortable with the narrative of the Black person needing something from white people and needing to be saved by white people, and the Black male as underachiever, chronic underachievers, and not hard workers, and lazy and violent, and all of these different things. But the truth for me was that me and all of my friends, you know, even if the father wasn't present, there was always a Black man in the community who was mentoring, right? And they expected a lot from us. And I didn't know Black people who didn't work. Most of the Black people I knew worked for companies for 20 and 30 years, right? And were the hardest working people. And when you talk about the American dream, Lee Roy Hawkins Sr. was the personification of the American dream. But what did that mean? That meant also violence. Because the American story, when I went back into the history, is rooted in violence. The founding of our country against the indigenous people, the violence against enslaved people, and the violence against people like my father, who was not just a man who grew up under segregation. He was a man who grew up under apartheid. And that system of apartheid was enforced by violence. And so, of course, because my father was classically American, as a matter of fact, he enlisted in the Air Force during the Vietnam era war, where I was actually born on the Minot, North Dakota Air Force Base, then that means that he had internalized a lot of the rules and the beliefs and the socialization of the broader American public. And people love to look at the brutality in isolation, when really, when you look at a Joe Jackson and you look at Troy Maxson from August Wilson's Fences, these were Black men who were denied opportunities under a system of apartheid, who said, darn it, I didn't get this opportunity, but my son will. And it is your obligation to redeem the sacrifices of the previous generations and to go far, Black boy, go far and push to the highest heights. And that part of the Black male self-esteem and that kind of collaboration and love that I had with my father, even though despite the violence, that's the part I feel that's in this book that we don't see in the literary community. And it's the part that America has the most problem with, to see a Black man omnipresent with his son in the way Deion Sanders is, and in the way my father was. And then I guess the last thing I'll say on that was that we weren't rich. We were far from it, but we were well off in the sense that, you know, wealth can be measured in so many ways. And one of the ways is that we had such a strong community. Both of my parents worked. They were very hardworking people. I think that because of that, and because I wasn't the dude with my pants hanging down, you know, I was required to wear, you know, nice clothes and have my shoes shined and to show up with my full self everywhere, I had Black people telling me, you're not Black. You're not Black. And a lot of those Black people who told me that I wasn't Black were Black people who weren't even known in the Black community like my family was, and Black people who weren't even around as many Black people as my family was. But because a lot of times we can accept a lower standard of what it means to be black and a stereotypical standard, we can begin to project that racism on other black people who aspire to excellence.
If you're just joining us, this is Dialogue on Illinois Soul. I'm Reginald Hardwick. We're talking with Lee Hawkins, a journalist and author who wrote the book I Am Nobody's Slave, How Uncovering My Family's History Set Me Free. Hawkins is bringing his family history and the Black experience to the public with both his book and a podcast called What Happened in Alabama. Here's an excerpt.
My childhood was marked by so many things. Watching our backs on the walk home from school, getting our hair cut in the black neighborhood, and church on Sundays.
All right. Who's on the line, sir?
That's my dad, Leroy Hawkins Sr., singing in our church. He taught me how to sing. We played music together, and he really believed in me.
When you grew up, everything you touched was great.
From the time I was a little kid, it was always me and him, Lee Sr. and Lee Jr., Leroy and Lily. But while my dad was happy at church, nightmares interrupted his sleep sometimes. He'd wake up screaming, startling the whole house. It scared me so much as a kid. One morning, I got the courage to ask him what he was dreaming about. He just looked down at the floor and said, "Alabama, son, Alabama."
When I left Alabama, something came out of me, man, a big-ass relief. And I didn't even know where I was going, but it was a big-ass, just, man, like a breath of fresh air, man. And that's where I felt.
Born in 1948 in a small town in Alabama.
When black people say there is systemic racism in America and get immediate pushback from coworkers or neighbors, even here in quote-unquote liberal Champaign-Urbana, or the current presidential administration, how do you respond? How you know, for folks listening to this, how do you respond?
Well, read the book. That's how I respond now, because it's a pretty much a devastatingly truthful account of systemic racism in the history of the country. And it's not a political statement. You know, it's not a thing where I have written an essay about my opinion on all of these things. No, I took 10 years, Reginald, and I went into the archives and I said, I'm an investigative reporter, a pretty good one, and I'm going to try my best to answer in a very objective way if systemic discrimination is real and how something that happened a century and a half ago, that ended a century and a half ago, still affects black people today, and why the argument for reparations could be a viable one. And, you know, that's often asked by white people, the racist ones, in a very facetious way, you know? Well, how could something that happened that long ago affect you today? The thing is that the very people who ask that question, they wouldn't last 5 minutes reading I Am Nobody's Slave, right? Because it's just too brutal. The truth. And what it does is it touches people in that same tender place that made our family members not want to talk about the past, right? And so we've internalized their silence about what happened, but they have no incentive to accept this history if they don't want to reconcile it, right? And so I understand where it comes from. It comes from a place of tribalism, and it comes from the way that primates work. They tend to abuse each other and to exploit, and this is just human nature, and we have to fight to not be that way. So I understand where it comes from.
What do you love most about our culture, and how's that reflected in your books?
Oh, man, so much about black people. But I think that when I went through this this book and going back into all the way back to 1600s, I didn't realize the extent to which we built this country and then jumped up out of emancipation and right into entrepreneurship, land ownership. There was a passion for success that our people exhibited. And a lot of it was why Reconstruction, you know, why all that happened, because Black people, in a way, were taken over, right? Anything when we put our mind to, we eventually become leaders in it, okay? And that's not just sports and entertainment. That's a lot of different law, politics, society, whatever it is. We're going to be among the best and the brightest. And I think that that's what I'm proud of the most, you know? I wanted to lean into the trauma in this book, Reginald, but it wasn't because I wanted to fixate on trauma. But I, you know, this book is a very uplifting book, I hope, too, because it shows everything my family went through and everything that I went through, and walk around the world with nobody ever even thinking that I was in a Halo cast for 4 months as a kid. Nobody ever even thinking that my father's father was murdered or that my grandparents' fathers were murdered. Because I don't want to say that we're superhuman, but we just understand that we need to be optimistic despite what's happening. Not because of America. Our achievements are not because of America. A lot of times they're despite America. But we always push through for a better future for our children. And I'm really proud about that, that there were Black people who bought land, were entrepreneurs and were killed as a result of that. But then the ones who survived continued to push forward for a better opportunity for our children. And just to wrap up, I just finally want us to give our children, our Black children, that love that they deserve, which is to let go of the colonizer's mindset. That tells us that Black children should be seen and not heard, that Black children should be passive, and that Black children, you better be careful out there. Yeah, be careful out there, but speak truth to power and let that start in the home. Reason with your kids. You don't need to beat them. And don't beat them in the name of Blackness, because there's nothing Black about that. It all comes from slave owners who got it from the United Kingdom. And if you don't believe it, read the book, and it's all in there.
Lee Hawkins, author, journalist, musician, thank you for joining us here at Illinois Soul.
I'm honored. Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, my brother.
Lee Hawkins' book is I Am Nobody's Slave, How Uncovering My Family's History Set Me Free. His podcast is What Happened in Alabama. And that's all for this week's dialogue. Our team includes Kennedy Vincent, Ariel Raveny, and Patricia Bradford. The theme was composed by Lamont Holden. Dialogue and Illinois Soul are part of Illinois Public Media, which is a service of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I'm Reginald Hardwick. We'll talk with you again next week.